Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel from Luke chapter 16 will also serve as the basis for our sermon today. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our priceless treasure. Amen. So how are you managing? With money, that is. Money is simply a part of this equation here in life. We can't really escape the need for it. We use money for clothing and food and housing, for education and business and travel. It's used for everything. But how are you managing? Or what kind of a manager are you? Are you an intense money manager? Someone who keeps track of all your receipts? Someone who writes down every dollar that you spend and takes account of every penny that you take in and is constantly, week after week, looking for better ways to use your money and to stretch your money farther? Or are you more of a basic money manager? Each month you draw up a budget of your income and your expenses, and after you pay your bills, you try to save some before you spend the rest of what you've got on other things? Or are you more of a relaxed money manager? Someone who doesn't really know how much money they have or how much money they need and doesn't really want to think about it. Are you more intense or basic or relaxed of a money manager? Well, Jesus talks to his disciples about money and wealth today. That means that those who follow Jesus and who learn from Jesus and those who trust in Jesus will want to give attention to what he has to say today. As Jesus encourages you and me, be a godly money manager. Accountable, commendable, and dependable. Could you imagine putting $200 in your bank, depositing that in your checking account? And then later that week, you go to the grocery store to get some food for your family and for some guests who are coming over to your house that weekend. And you pick up the groceries and you take them to the cash register at the front of the store. And it comes to about $100. You swipe your debit card. Declined. Swipe it again. It still won't go through. You're kind of frustrated by this point. So you go to your bank and ask them, "What's going on here?" And they say, "Well, we used most of your $200 to buy some new art room to hang on our conference room walls." How would you feel about that? You might be thinking, well, a picture of food isn't going to feed my family. I had more important things to use that money for. That was my money. I was counting on the bank to take care of it for me, and they failed. I'm going to start looking for a different bank. Yet how often has God felt that way about you and about me? In Jesus' story about that rich man and his manager, the manager was accused of wasting his master's possessions. So first, we notice that this is about possessions. That's what people have. It's more than just money. It's money and what money can buy. It's everything that people have. And that reminds us that everything that you and I have, from the property we walk on, to the clothes that we put on, to the money that we live on, everything from the cars that we drive, to the toys that we play with, to the electronic devices that we use, all of that really belongs to God, and He allows us to use it. God made all things, He owns all things, He gives things, and He has the right to take things as well. When that rich man heard that his possessions were being wasted, he called that manager in and said, "You have to give an account. You can't be my manager any longer." God, who owns all things, even all the things that are in our possession, He is calling us to give an account today. He's calling you and me to come in and explain to Him, how have you managed? How have you handled all of the different things that I have entrusted to you? Have you spent all kinds of money on things that you didn't need, with money that you didn't even really have? How frequently have you been frivolous? Are you being wasteful on a regular basis? All kinds of extras above and beyond the essentials? And not just what have you spent your money on, but even more importantly, why? Jesus gets to the core of the issue when He helps us understand that it really boils down to two possibilities. It's one or the other. It's all or nothing. Are you serving God or are you serving money? Whether you are buying or selling, whether you are earning or spending, whether you're remodeling or recycling, keeping or pitching, planning future purchases or working on some investments, are you doing all that for the sake of the money and the things money can buy? Or are you doing all of that for the sake of God, with God in mind? Are you working for the stuff or are you working for God? Jesus, as He audits our money management, He connects a seventh commandment idea, taking care of the stuff God has given us, with a first commandment line item. He says it's all about serving God. And as He audits our money management today, we come to see that all too often we have set our hearts on money and stuff. We have occupied our minds with things and possessions. We have spent our strength on trying to get more instead of trying to serve God. We've either been careless with God's money or cared too much about what we thought was our money. And God calls us to account today. He says, "You shouldn't be my manager anymore." We should hear, "The door's over there. You're fired. Get out. You are accountable for this miserable money management." But as Jesus continues on with that story, He says, the manager wasn't sure what he was going to do. Too ashamed to beg, not strong enough to dig. So he called in his master's creditors, or his master's debtors. You owe 800 gallons of olive oil? Make it 400. You owe 1,000 bushels of wheat? Make it 800. And the rich man commended the manager for that. As you listened to that earlier during reading of the gospel lesson, did that strike you as strange? What's Jesus talking about commending a person for being dishonest? It just doesn't sound quite right. Isn't that unjust, unfair? What is Jesus talking about? Well, when we think about it, Jesus knows a lot about reducing debts, doesn't he? Jesus is very familiar with the concept of someone taking a loss so that another one can have improved standing, isn't he? Jesus knows all too well about commending someone who should have been canned. And we know that about Jesus too, don't we? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that for our sakes, because of his poverty, we might become rich. Jesus was condemned by his people so that you and I are commended by God. Jesus spent his whole life on the cross so that he could buy you and me back for God. Jesus managed to rise again from the dead to prove that our standing in God's household has been restored. Jesus transferred his priceless worth to you and to me in our baptism, and he recharges that over and over again each time we receive communion. But this is Jesus' point in this parable. In verse 9, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. That manager used the rich man's wealth to gain friends for himself so he would have a welcome later. Jesus is encouraging you and me to use worldly wealth, which ultimately belongs to God, to gain friends for ourselves so we will have more people welcome us when we enter the inheritance of heaven. Jesus is encouraging you and me to use worldly wealth, which God has entrusted to us, generously and wisely, prudently and shrewdly, so that more people will hear about him and welcome us when we get to heaven. Now, we can't use money to earn anyone's way into heaven, but we can use money to support the spread of the gospel message, so that more and more people will hear that Christ has canceled their debt with God. Isn't this what women like Joanna and Susanna did? Luke's gospel records this, that Jesus healed those women, and then they accompanied Jesus and his disciples using their own wealth to provide for Jesus and his disciples so that they could carry on ministry and more people could learn about Jesus, the way to heaven. Isn't this what people like Jason from Thessalonica or Lydia from Philippi did? After they learned about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the way to heaven, they used their worldly wealth to support Paul's ministry throughout the Mediterranean region so that more and more people would welcome them when they got to heaven. And this is what you and I do too. As we set aside money for offerings, as we use our worldly wealth to support the spread of the gospel so that more and more people will be there in heaven and welcome us when we get there. When you walk over the threshold of our Heavenly Father's mansion, will a Vietnamese woman come up to you and say, "Welcome home! I'm so thankful to God that he used your offering to support mission work in my country so that I could hear about Jesus and come to heaven." As you enter the vaulted ceiling area of the great hallway, the foyer in our Heavenly Father's mansion, will a Chinese man come up to you and give you a hearty hug and say, "Thank you. Thank you for giving that mission money so that I could hear about Jesus, my heavenly friend, and my place that he's won for me in heaven." As you take your seat at the banquet table in heaven, will a Hispanic family from Detroit, Michigan, pass you a platter of fruit and say, "Thank you. God used your mission offering so that we could taste how sweet Jesus' forgiveness is." As you wander down the hallways in God's house in heaven, will one person call out, "There he is. He's the one who supported prison ministry so that I could hear that I've been set free by Jesus. She's arrived. She finally got here to heaven. She's the one who supported special ministries so I, who had disabilities here on this earth, could hear the special, simple message of Jesus, my Savior." As you enter the massive living room in God's heavenly dwelling, how many people will come up to you and say, "Thank you for your offerings to support the education of pastors and teachers who would canvass and counsel and instruct and recall people like me in Christ. This is the kind of money management that God says to you and me, well done, faithful servant. This is the kind of money management using our wealth for mission work to support the spread of the gospel that Jesus says here is nothing short of commendable. God also wants you and me to be dependable managers of God's money. Have you ever wondered how many missionaries does one child's mission offering support? Or how many mission startups does one family's special offering help to fund? It might not always seem like much, but God has a way of multiplying things, doesn't he? Just like the bread and the fish when he fed 5,000. And so whether we consider ourselves rich or poor, whether we're single or have a large family, whether we're young or old, working or retired, God asks of each of us, be dependable managers of money. That is, first set aside a portion as an offering to me for my work. Then he also says, care for your family and the family of believers and those who are needy. He also says, make sure to give government, God's representatives there in government, what you owe them. And also enjoy the material blessings God has given you. He encourages that too. We heard about that in the first and the second lesson today. How many of you, when you were young, learned money management from your parents? And how many of us parents now or grandparents are helping to impress money management on our children and grandchildren right now? Whether they receive an allowance or money for doing jobs, whether they receive Christmas money or confirmation money or birthday money, we want to teach them, even if it's only a little bit, money management. I've heard some parents using a jar system, a jar for offerings, a jar for spending, a jar for saving, or boxes or envelopes in a folder to help teach their children to manage money. Some parents even sit down with their teens and teach them how to write up a monthly budget. But listen again to what Jesus says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. For people who learn to be trustworthy and dependable with a little bit now, how much might Jesus entrust to them later on in life? And how richly might the Lord use that for his kingdom and the salvation of so many souls? God asks you and me, whether we have a lot or a little, be dependable managers of money. Could you imagine being hired by Dan Schulman, the president and CEO of PayPal? That's an online financial service company these days, which is worth over $60 billion. And if Dan Schulman said, I want you to work for me, I want you to be underneath me, to report to me weekly on how things are going, would you be a little bit nervous on the first day? Would you work extra hard every day? That important and influential CEO, he knows what's going on in his company. He's very attentive to everything that goes on under his umbrella. Yet Dan Schulman is also known as a great CEO to work for. He takes care of his employees in big things and in small. He wants to make sure that they're cared for, and they in turn can't wait to get to work every day and do the best they can for his company. They want to stay there and work there for a long time. Maybe it's because God is invisible. We can't see him. Sometimes we forget that we serve him. He's our Lord. He's our boss. But he's so much just like Dan Schulman in that there's no one more important or influential than God. He knows everything. He's attentive to everything that's going on in his kingdom, in the universe. Yet there's no one who takes better care of his servants than our God. He provides for us. He protects us. He looks after us every day. And no one provides a better retirement package, the gift of eternal life in heaven. So serve God with your money. Serve him carefully. Serve him joyfully. Be a godly money manager, accountable to him, commendable by using worldly wealth for heavenly purposes, and also dependable, whether you have a little or a lot. Amen. Please stand.